Our reading is from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
My husband is the son of a retired elementary school teacher, so he gets it naturally. By it, I mean a rigid adherence to the proper use of the English language. I cannot tell you how many times I overheard a conversation like this between him and one of our children. One of the children would holler, let's just be honest, they hollered out, "Can I have a glass of milk?" To which Stephen would reply, "I do not know. Can you?" Audible sigh would be heard from whichever child it was, who would then correct it to, "May I have a glass of milk?" Now, there are lots of misuses of the English language that would trigger this sort of response from Stephen, but the one that really got under his skin over the years was the misuse of the word literally. It was usually coming out of the mouth of a sports announcer that would really get his goat. The sports announcers had already probably irritated him because, you know, they have to fill air. They tend to say a lot of super obvious things. Sometimes they say things that are blatantly not right, or at least according to Stephen, they are not right. And then they would throw some line in like this. "He literally was like a freight train running over that offensive line." Or, "They literally killed their opponent today." The use of literally, though, like this, was very widespread. Very widespread. It was not just in sports. It was this hyperbolic way of using the word to create emphasis, sometimes to be funny. And it became so prevalent that in 2014, Merriam-Webster, the dictionary people, changed their definition of the word. If you look, it is defined now as, first of all, in a literal sense or manner, or actually. So that's the way we're used to the word literally meaning. Or here's the new part: in effect, virtually. Now, when this happened, There were several articles, of course, you can imagine, pointing this out, that this had been added to the dictionary. And I remember I posted the article on Facebook, and I made sure to tag my husband so he wouldn't miss it. And his response was quite funny. "This literally makes my head explode." Now, I tell you a story about a word meaning one thing and then over time coming to mean something else, because that is what it seems may have happened to the word that we hear today in our scripture, that we've heard in our anthem, the word Hosanna. Hosanna is, it appears to be, a transliteration of a Hebrew word. In other words, it's a Hebrew word that some letters were put to and a pronunciation were put to be used in another language. So Hosanna was a Hebrew word that was found in one of the Psalms. And the Psalm that it was found in is one of many that was used by the people during festival seasons. So there was a whole series of psalms that they would sing during these festivals. And the word that Hosanna, what that word means in Hebrew is save us. Save us. So Psalm 118, where you find this, this is what it sounds like in Psalm 118. "Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." It sounds familiar, right? Sounds like what they were saying that day we call Palm Sunday. But the thing is that the tone of the story, the Palm Sunday story, doesn't seem to maybe completely square with Hosanna meaning save us. Now, I wasn't there. We don't really know exactly what the tone is. It's a little hard to tell, but it sure sounds a little different. And there is some evidence, that by the time this scene occurred outside of Jerusalem, that the term Hosanna had lost at least some of its original meaning, that it had become a term of praise, a term of joy and welcome, not a pleading sort of a term. Now, one thing that gives us some evidence of this is the fact that the author of the Gospel of Mark does not translate that word for us. The other Gospels that use the word Hosanna in their telling of this story don't either, but the thing is that the author of the Gospel of Mark is usually pretty good about telling us what Hebrew words mean, what some of the Jewish culture meant, because he was writing, it seems, to those who were not familiar or as familiar with that culture. So here he uses this word Hosanna, and he doesn't explain it to us. He never mentions that it means save us, which seems to imply that maybe that translation of the word didn't fit exactly with the tone of what was going on that day. This was a joyous day. Jewish people were flowing into Jerusalem for the upcoming Passover festival. It must have been exciting, don't you think, to come in from outside of the city, from quite some distances away, to come into the holy city of Jerusalem for this festival. Imagine, it's a requirement that you come to the city for these festivals, but just think, you're going to see some people you haven't seen since the last festival. And you get to go to the temple. The temple. And here, in the midst of all of this excitement, was Jesus, this rabbi, this miracle worker. Who was he? Who was he? There were lots of ideas about who he was, including, could he be the long-awaited Messiah. Was he coming to Jerusalem to overthrow the Roman Empire? Was he coming to free the Jewish people? The crowd was soon murmuring in excitement as Jesus, after some careful orchestration, comes riding on a colt toward the city. This sounded like some prophecies come true. Other gospels who tell this scene point to it directly, pointing to the writings of Zechariah, who wrote, "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The crowds part to allow him to pass. Branches are waved and placed on the ground before him along with their cloaks. It takes on a feeling of a parade of victory, a military parade, or maybe more so, a parade urging on someone who is about to attempt a coup. Hosanna. Welcome. Praise to the one whom God has sent. Hosanna, Hosanna. One writer has said about this word that it was kind of a holy hurrah. Hosanna. Now again, I don't really know what was true or not about what that word meant, what it meant to the people who were saying it that day. It's unclear. It is unclear what all of these actions with the branches and the cloaks meant, but I just want us to meditate for a little while this morning on this potentially double-meaning word, this plea that is also a praise, this cry for help that is also a shout for joy. And I want us to meditate on this because I think it is just a perfect word, a perfect feeling, a perfect posture for us to take before our God today. Listen, if you will, to the cries of the crowd that day. Close your eyes if you need to. Listen to the words of the crowd. Place yourself there before him. Plead to him. He hears you. Lay not your cloaks, not your branches, but yourselves down before him, the king, and cry out to him, Hosanna. Save us, Lord. Save us from death. Save us from hell. Save us from sin and temptation. Save us from our enemies. Save us from evil. Save us from disease and disaster. Save us from accidents. Save us from war. Save us from ourselves. Save us from depression and despair. Save us from boredom. Save us from the noise. Save us from inaction and paralysis. Save us from greed. Save us from jealousy. Save us from lust and gluttony. Save us from unbelief. Save us from pride and arrogance. Save us. Save us. Save us now. The people that day very much could have been crying out, "Hosanna, save us," to Jesus, pleading with him to go into that city and make it all right, to bring justice down like streams of water, to bring oppression to an end, to usher in freedom, to sit on the throne and shepherd his people. But we know that he did not. We know that he marched into Jerusalem, and the powers that be, both religious and government, would not have it. They would not have him challenge their authority. They would not have him dilute in any way their power. So they conspired against him using one of his own followers to betray him. And they conspired with the empire that they so hated to put him to death before the week was up. Save us now would not happen the way that the crowds had hoped. Contrary to the desires of those who were looking for a triumphant rebel who would take a sword to the empire, the only blood that was going to flow was Jesus's. But place yourself there again amidst the crowd. Find that place of joy within you that was within them that day. Praise his name, for he hears you. Welcome him not into the city of Jerusalem, but welcome him into your heart and your soul and your mind. Welcome him into every corner of your life and lift up your voice to him. Hosanna! Praise God and the one he sent. Praise Emmanuel, God with us. Praise prophet, teacher, healer, servant, master. Praise the Lord on high who does not forget his people. Praise the God in heaven who loved us so much that he sent his only Son to show us what love really looked like. Looks like. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God, the inexplicable, almighty, everlasting, steadfast, all-knowing, all-seeing God. Praise God. Praise the one who made the world. Praise the one who saved the world. Praise the one who lives inside of us. Praise God, who does indeed save us. Praise God, even when that salvation doesn't look the way we want it to. Praise the God of grace and mercy, the God of love and sacrifice, the God of promise and hope. Praise God. Through the ups and the downs, through the peaks and the valleys. Praise the God of Easter through our Palm Sundays and our Good Fridays and every day in between. Praise him now and forever. Hosanna, save us now. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we come before you with the words of Hosanna upon our lips, both pleading to you for help and knowing that you are there and so very thankful for it. Help us as we go into this holy, holy week to explore each and every emotion that we find in the crowds, in your followers, in those who oppose you, in those at the base of the cross and at the sight of the empty tomb. Hosanna to you, O Lord, in all that it means, every way, every day. In your most precious Son's name, Hosanna. Amen.